Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
I have seen with my own eyes this past week the title of the message that God wants me to bring to you. I've entitled it New Beginnings. You know, the Bible is filled with stories of people, churches, nations that have experienced a new beginning and a new purpose in their lives. The history of Israel is filled with events of new beginnings for people who often went astray. That's the way we are. We often go astray and we ask God forgiveness and for a fresh start. Nothing is fixed in human and divine relationship that cannot be enriched by new beginning. Repentance opens the door to that new beginning. Faith brings the resources of God's mercy and grace to our need of new beginning. We need release from our sins. We need it so badly that not only did Jesus die upon the cross, but He told us to confess our sins to one another. We need a release from those sins. We need to ask God for a new beginning, a fresh start. Because we are new creatures. You know, it may not appear like that from the outside. I looked at myself in the mirror today and I really couldn't see the newness that I once saw. But there is a newness of life that comes from God and God alone. There's a twinkle in the eye. There's a spirit that rises above because God has made His home in our heart. Jesus said, "I make all things new." We know that our God is a God of new beginnings and fresh starts. And we know that even though the Bible tells us many different things, in the very beginning, we are all familiar with what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You notice that it says that God created them. There's no mention of man anywhere. Man didn't do anything. God created the heavens and the earth. He gave us a new beginning. It's not about what we have done. It's all about what God is doing, what God has done, what God is doing, and what He will continue to do all through the age. You know, there are some of us who say, "I want that old-time religion." Well, that's okay. But you know, old times are not what God's about. God's always turning over a new thing, a new beginning, a new leaf, a new slate. Isn't that good? Because I don't know what I would do with the old man if he wasn't ready to resurrect him at any time. What would you do if you were simply dead in your sins? We're not people of yesterday. We're people of today, of tomorrow, and of the world to come. That's who we're supposed to be. And we can only be equipped to be that if we allow God to make all things new in our lives. That doesn't mean that we need to change everything about our church. You know, I've been to many churches and I've read books, all kinds of books on worship wars. My goodness gracious. Worship wars? Because some people believe that if you have rock and roll, that's the way to get people in the seats. And if you have electronic music and you have a lot of sound and you have a lot of fury, it all signifies nothing, according to Shakespeare. I think he's right. It's a sound of fury. But, you know, we buy into that. We buy into that in our culture, that we want to substitute that kind of entertainment for the real power of God. We don't want that power. Not in our life. We want that power somewhere else that we can call on, but we don't want it actually renewing us all the time as He wants to do. We don't want a worship that sells, that brings people away from their football games and their sleep and their, you know, their golf game or whatever it is that they're doing that seems more important than being in the search for God. Worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. We don't need commercialism in our church or in our lives. We need a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, there are many people who think that worship is all about us. Oh, that's my favorite song, or that's my favorite hymn, or that's my favorite this or that. It's not about us. It's all about God. What pleases God? Does God please when He hears His name praised in other languages other than ours? Well, of course He is. Is God pleased when He sees people jump and scream and yell for Him? Of course He is. Is God pleased with even those of us who sit with our hands on our backsides? Yeah. When we're in His house and we're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, He is always pleased. This is all about God. New beginnings are all about God. It is the God who dwells within each of us and wants us to dwell with Him in heaven. Let us go before Him now in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for everything You mean to us, everything You do for us, not just for the things that we receive, but for the things that we have no notion of that You're in control of. We thank You for a good night's sleep when we close our eyes to the world and You give us a time of Sabbath, a time of relaxing. We thank You for that, Father. We thank You for the peace that we receive, the peace that passes all of our understanding. So, Father, now, dwelling in Your peace, may we receive from You the greatest gift that we can, that revelation from Your very heart that lets us know that You're here, that nurtures us, feeds us, that gives us water in a dusty place, that quenches our thirst. Let us hear the word from You today. Cast out my words. My words are nothing. Give us the words that You speak, the words of life and death. Father, have mercy on us today. May Your great love be shown in everything we do and say. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you read with me from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 to the end of the chapter. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not impugning their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become righteousness of God in Him. God has the power to call us from the deadness of our past, the emptiness of our present, the futility of our future. He has the power to make all things new. Jesus came into our lives so that we would have new life and full life. He wants us to be a living resurrection in testimony to Him. We have been called to live that resurrected life, which has the potential of all kinds of new beginnings, of new understandings, of new acceptance of people, of new love poured out to people. People are the source because Jesus told us they're the source. He said, love your neighbor. Be good to those who spitefully use you. Love one another as I have loved you. Revelation 21:5 tells us that He who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Paul addressed that clearly in the verses that we have just read. God asked Jesus to taste sin, to become sin for us, to enter into the human condition, which touches our common needs for a new beginning. Because Jesus paid the price for our sin upon the cross. If God could give His only Son for a fresh start for you and me, so we might receive God's grace and mercy and become a new creature, how should we respond to that? Should not we be more than thankful? Should we be more than grateful to a God who loved each and every one of us so much that He has counted every hair on our bodies? God, who loved us, who created us from mud. That's what we were mud people. Even now, the scientists tell us that we're 80% water. 80% water. But we're dying of thirst. We're people who are dying because we're dehydrated. We've shriveled up because we have not received Christ in us, the hope of glory. We should be working together with the knowledge that God's love is so great, that He loves us so much, that everything we do is sacred. You know, the world has a lot of great needs. And as you look around the world, you can look at a Band-Aid and say, well, maybe I can fix this with a Band-Aid. I was talking to Jerry the other day. He had on a pair of shorts, and I noticed the Band-Aid that he had. He said, this is where they shot my knee with a bunch of artificial things that will allow me to have a better spongy knee. He said, but they told me it was just a Band-Aid. And I saw the Band-Aid. What our world needs more than anything is for the sacred and the secular to come together. And we are those who have been chosen by God to bring these two things together. The love of God. The love that we bear one another with the secular so that we can increase the life and the enrichment of life for every human being. The power of God. The will of God. To His glory. To God, the old hymnist said, be the glory. To God be the glory, not to man. But every beginning, every new beginning, comes with a price. The price that God paid by offering His only Son to pay for our sins. You know, every time I think about that, I think about the vision that was given to John in Revelations. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. We are a fellowship that prays, that serves, that searches, that hopes for a new beginning, a fresh start. If Jesus is knocking on the door of this church, of this building, of your life, how does He get in? Does He come in through the roof? Or the windows? Or the doors? How does He come in? Does He force His way in? No. He allows us to open the door ourselves and invite Him in. Listen. Is He knocking? Do you hear the knocking? Do you hear the knocking on your heart? He comes to our church through various means. He comes through our church in the music. He inspires that music. He inspires the reading of the Word and the preaching of the Word. His inspiration is here. He comes by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. When you came into the church, did you come in to find Jesus here? Did He come the night before? Is He here today? Does He come during the service? When does He come? Jesus said, you hear the wind. You know not which way it comes. It may come from the north, or the south, or the east, or the west. It's a roar. A mighty roar. Has He come into you today? Have you come looking for Jesus here today? Many of us should have brought Jesus with us into this place. We should take Jesus with us out of this place, to everywhere we go. So we're willing to share Him with those who want to find Him. I mean, that's why we're here, isn't it? Isn't that the new beginning that God wants every human being to have? While He was on the cross, the world was on His mind. Yes, I was on His mind. You were on His mind. We were each on His mind, but the whole world was on His mind, no matter what our current circumstances. We need to share Him. And share Him openly with others, lovingly and by doing the things He taught us to do. He actually said to us, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command?" Do you have an answer for that? Is it because we're lazy? Because we're not motivated? Because we haven't really received God? When you receive God, you've received the greatest gift you will ever receive. It is something that you want to unfold and share with others. You want to say, "This is my bicycle. Watch me ride." You want to ride on my bicycle? We need to share Him. There's an article that was written a few years ago called "The Church, God's New Thing." Under the leadership and lordship of Christ, we become new people. We become a people with new values, with new hopes, with new dreams. We are people that need others, because that's the way God has made us. This church is God's new thing. It's His new agent, filled with the power and force of God. If God is in you, there is nothing you cannot do. Nothing. There's nothing you can't ask for that He will not do. He has told us that where the two or three of us are gathered together, in the same room, there is He in the very midst of us. Jesus is here. You may not see Him, but He is here in the faces of the people that I look at every Sunday. He is here. He is here. By the Holy Spirit, there is nothing we can't do. We are caretakers of the kingdom. Think about that for a minute. We are the caretakers of the kingdom of God. In each of us, there is a special gifting that allows us to do what we are supposed to do. And it says, Jesus tells us, that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We have that power within us. We have the power to say to the mountain, "Be removed and cast into the sea." We have the power to do that because of Jesus Christ, and because God has sent His only Son, and His only Son has sent His Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. We live because He lives. We have our being because He lives. We have a purpose in life because He lives. Because Christ lives, He wants us to live an abundant, full life. He wants us to have that newness of life. You know, when we baptize people, we say, "Buried with Christ, arise to the newness of life." Of life. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're arising into the newness of life. You arrive here as a newborn babe with new everything, new sight, new ears. You are new in Christ. We are His ambassadors to the world. We are bringing the newness of life to others and give it to them. Share it with them freely. You've received, freely give. What He alone can give. Newness of life. Where do we find it? Do we find it in the old? Oh, yes. I have seen it in people who are suffering with pain. Do we find it in the young and the energetic? Of course. We find it all around us. The newness that God is doing in our lives. Today, I heard many people tell me what would be sad stories. You know, if I took all the sad stories that I hear, commonly in a year. I could write, "For as the world turns, every day for eternity." I could write soap operas that would just never stop. But we serve a God who puts an end to our suffering. We serve a God who puts an end to our sickness. We serve a God who puts an end to our struggles. If we lay ourselves open to Him, He will come in to us and create in us new creature. A new creature that is no longer subject to the things we suffer on this earth. We are to be new creatures so that we can be His ambassadors. His ambassadors to the world. I don't know what God is saying to you this morning about newness of life, receiving that, living in it, participating in it, grabbing it for all of its worth. Carpe diem, seize the day. Or are we sitting back someplace in a chair in our comfort zone? And for me, it's in front of my television set watching the news. My wife is giggling back there too. I just told on myself. It is the newness of life which enters into each one of us that allows us to walk and breathe and have our being. I want every one of you to have that today. I want each of us to have God's fullness. I want each person to receive the Holy Spirit of God, if you have never done so, today. Or get a new start or fresh beginning. This is the opportunity. God's not through with us yet. Believe it or not, God has something else for you on your plate. You just can't fold up and fade away. God has something for you today. We're now going to have the invitation, and at the invitation, I'm going to ask each one of you to receive what I can't give you, but what only God can give you, to receive a new beginning, a new start. He may call you to come down and rededicate your life. He may call you to receive Him for the very first time. He may call you to be baptized. He may call you because of out of your sickness, you want to be obedient and you want to tell someone about the sickness and have them pray for you. Anyways, whatever it is, His invitation to each of us is open today to all of us.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.